still wide awake and bright-eyed is BBC Radio Stoke Staffordshire political reporter Emma Thomas, who is now with me in the studio, having made her way from Fenton Manor. You're still going.
Bright-eyed is probably a bit of a compliment, to be honest, Tim. I'm still awake, definitely.
This is the radio.
I've been fueled by sweeties and fast food.
And no one can see.
Nobody can see the bags under the eyes, can they?
They can't, yeah, they can't. Okay, now, I'll tell you, what a story this by-election has been for Stoke-on-Trent.
I know, we have been on the map. I mean, from a journalistic perspective, all our friends from network TV, national newspapers, other broadcasters, they've all been in town. I arrived at work yesterday morning. There was a few different camera crews at the front of our office. You know, wave, good morning, gents. Is that all about to disappear, maybe? Because there are quite a few journalists who I know that were at tonight's count that were in Stoke around 10, 11 this evening. And, you know, some people booked hotels off of the M6 halfway between here and Copeland. And they're going to be waking up about 4 this morning, having a bit of a nap, and then deciding, right, where's the story? Are we going south back to Stoke? Are we going north up to Copeland? Well, Stoke status quo has resumed. Copeland, there's a big story. Historic there. The first time, I think, since, is it 1982?
Since a sitting government. Yeah, absolutely.
Taken from the opposition.
Well, that is interesting, isn't it? Because all eyes have been on Stoke Central until now. And many people, the electorate and those who were not able to vote in Stoke Central, were saying, well, you know, for so long, Stoke has been the forgotten town. And you do wonder now that the status quo has been resumed in that Labour has held the seat, whether that will return.
You see, I wonder whether it's the personalities in the election campaign that may have meant that all eyes were on Stoke. Because, understandably, our listeners may well know the names of our candidates, perhaps not Copeland. Likewise, people in Cumbria might not know our candidates. However, I think nationally, if you ask people who's Bournuttall, they're likely to say, if you ask somebody to name some of the candidates standing in Copeland, you wouldn't know. The Stoke by-election was a personality by-election. There were what some of the candidates would call smear campaign. There was the Hillsborough scandal with Bournuttall, his house. National attention was here. Whereas I was paying attention to what was happening in Copeland, and I've been chatting to my counterpart at BBC Cumbria, Bob Cooper, who's their political reporter, and there was very much a clear issue in Copeland when it came to the decision. Obviously, so much of their employment relates to the nuclear industry.
Yeah, so it's based around Sellafield.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Jeremy Corbyn opposed to it. So from them, you know, there was very much this narrative there is a vote for Labour is a vote to get rid of your jobs. You know, there was that kind of feeling. Whereas here, it felt a bit more nuanced. It felt more, it was a character. It was potentially a rebellion kind of a vote as opposed to a key issue.
Interestingly, though, when you listen to, you know, you mentioned our colleagues in the other media, whether that's newspapers nationally or television or radio for that matter, who all descended on Stoke-on-Trent. It was very interesting for us folks who live here, who work here, to see how the area was going to be portrayed. And I know there's been some criticism of the media in that respect.
There's been some anger of this portrayal of Stoke-on-Trent as kind of a derelict town. It's funny how some cameras always manage to find the boarded-up shop or that kind of street where things are looking a little bit run down.
The dereliction, the apathy, the ignorance, the intolerance to some extent, and how that, you know, despite statistically speaking, it's not the case that we're the Brexit capital of the UK. Although that hasn't stopped some of the media pointing to that fact.
We were high up there. We had one of the higher percentages. I mean, as a whole, I think it was 69% in Stoke voted Leave. There were some wards, though, in Stoke-on-Trent. Bentleigh, for example, was an 87% Leave vote. But you've got some more like Hanley Park and Shelton, around 34%. So you cannot simply say that everybody in Stoke is Brexit capital. You can't do that. There were other constituencies with a higher vote. However, I think that narrative was repeated because it was convenient for UKIP. Because in a case, if you tell people, oh, your city voted Leave, we represent Leave, vote for us. If you spin that out so many times, it becomes part of the consciousness.
And it was very interesting, wasn't it? You know, hearing a few words from Paul Nuttall as he left the building. He didn't stay for the customary speech to the crowds. He decided just to say a few words and then depart.
He did. He said a few words. It was a stampede, essentially. He and his security staff then ushered him out through a side entrance of the sports hall. And I was trying to run along, trying to get a photo, trying to get a question in. I did get stumped on my foot. And there were several journalists, kind of some of us pushed away. It was a brute force. Interestingly, though, neither did Jack Brereton. In fact, I got to the point in the evening when I said, is Jack here? Because I think he arrived fairly late, shortly before the vote, and swiftly left as well. I'm assured by other journalists that he was there, but I just happened to miss him. But no, often you will have kind of the winner and the loser speeches. But no, only a winner speech we got tonight.
And just a couple of extra points before we let you go, because I know that you'll be working towards the breakfast show with John this morning. 2020 comes and the Stoke Central constituency could be no more.
It could be no. Under the current plans, there's a restructuring. What we will see is Stoke Central will disappear. Stoke North and Stoke South will exist. Continue to exist. This is going to provide, though, a headache for Labour, because now we've got newly elected Gareth Snell, we've got Rob Flello in the South, Ruth Smeath in the North. They were very friendly, hugs, kisses and cheers this evening. But when it comes to 2020, there's going to be three people and two jobs. If they can be re-elected, of course, if they can keep their seats. So that'll be an interesting one to watch.
It certainly will, and particularly with the somewhat narrowing majority that Labour now has.
2,500, 2,600 if you want to be precise. Tristram Hunt back in 2015, 18 months ago, had a 5,000 majority. Back in 1997, that was a 20,000 majority. So the majority is dwindling down. Okay. 2020, have a watch on that.
When 2020 comes, if you're still in that job, if you say it was a stiletto, do they do steel toe cap stilettos?
On the toe earlier. I needed steel toe caps. Yeah. That's what I should have worn.
Thank you, Emma. Emma Thomas, who will be featuring on The Breakfast Show with John Akers from 6 this morning.